You're listening to Love and Light with Dr. Lisa, Everyday Living in Peace. Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today, and most people don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. The key to this is simple: love. Join me, Dr. Lisa Collins, for the next hour as I unpack and identify the need for a peaceful, love-filled existence by engaging the challenging and hard topics of life. On this show, you will lean into the healing practices that enlarge your spiritual reality through the act of love. This kind of love begins with yourself and your neighbor and transcends age, race, sex, generation, class, and sexual identity. The world changes when we root ourselves in love. Love and Light with Dr. Lisa starts now. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Lisa, and you're listening to Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience how to bring more love into your everyday life. We're here each Wednesday, second and fourth Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, 12 Mountain, 4 Eastern, and we have tools for living every day in peace. When a physical issue arises, it compounds living physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And the lack of pure connection and the continued absence of light within has caused sadness and can be felt everywhere in our world today. Everyone has lost their way in a form that is inconsolable to each individual. And this consistent harm and hurt that happens over and over, instead of caring or having compassion, more harm and hurt occur. When a physical issue arises because of all of this harm, it compounds living, and it's just downright frightening. I have often spoken about having a community of healing support around us during all these challenging times. Today, you are in for a very special treat. We will hear what experiences do to our body and whether we know it or not. And I welcome Dr. Iris L. Davis, an intuitive physician who will share her journey of healing from within. Welcome, Iris, to Love and Light. Can I call you Iris or Dr. Iris?
You may do either. It's fine with me, Lisa. Thank you very much. Thank you for allowing me to come in and participate. Let me just clarify that I use that intuitive capacity as a medical consultant who is a physician. Right. So that what it allows me to do, let me just start right there. What that allows me to do is to begin to recognize, you know, when I was very young, we went back to the medical school in the 70s, you know, so an older physician told me, the longer you practice, the more you will understand your people. And the more you understand your people, you know what you can cure, but the rest of it, you need to help them heal.
And oh, that's
this is from an old country physician. Yes. He says, you'll know what you can cure, and the rest of it, you will have to help them heal.
Well, let's
not
start
that he
there.
Could heal it, but that you have to help that person walk that path toward their own healing. And that's often the first part that people become confused with. So obviously he was clearly intuitive. So as a physician, you're always like, I'll be able to help that one. Let me see if I can work on this one. Okay, there's a physical reason, but a lot of it. And then when you think of our chronic illnesses, so many of them are due to the actual society that we live in.
I'm gonna stop you there. Wait a minute, hold on. So tell us about yourself. Introduce yourself to us. You've already done so. You jumped right into the business. What made you want to be an intuitive physician or an intuitive consultant? And what made you move into this direction to help people in your community?
My mother says I told her I was going to be a physician or a healer of some type when I was two.
2 years old.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Now, you know, mothers tend to get a little, but anyway, you're getting the ideas before I remember. In addition, so most of my life, although I studied dance and art and this and that, and enjoyed all those things that you enjoy as a young person, I was very clear I was headed for medical school. So I had the fortune of attending a medical school where, to the best of my knowledge, I mean, the first 10 women of color that attended that institution, which was a unique and constant opportunity for growth.
Let's just dig a little bit here. So there were 10 women in the total history of the institution.
The University of Virginia is one of the oldest medical schools in the United States.
Okay. Our listeners may not know that.
Okay. And as a Virginian, whose folk are documented at least back to about 1800, that, you know, you can only do that based on sales of people into an enslaved condition.
Mm-hmm.
So based on our elders, we know that by 1800, we were in Franklin County, Virginia. And the University of Virginia was built, designed, and constructed by Thomas Jefferson. So it had that building on the side where they used frequently black bodies to let people do anatomy because it was still against the law, et cetera, blah, blah, where it was hidden, et cetera. They had the lawn where certain people could walk. They had all the normal strictures and structures of a society that was pre-Civil War. Okay. So, and it was also an all-male institution. So it was really quite remarkable that, you know, that we came in the 70s is when all of this began to change. So that there were people of color, and then that there were women who were African-American in majority. So that opportunity for growth allows you to remember those who held the power within that institution that met you at the door and said, you know, the last one we had that looked like you, when I had hair of the same length, you know, we don't allow that kind of look here, you know, that type of story. So very basic.
Teachers
that wouldn't ask you, professors that couldn't see your hand, et cetera.
Thank you for naming. So the institutional racism and oppression that you experienced while you were going to medical school.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, okay. We're talking notes on the door. We're talking, I'm not getting a gun. I have an iron by my bed.
Wow.
Turned on. Yeah. So, you know, we're talking about getting hit by a truck on a bike and hearing the rebel yell and the da-da-da-da. But the people who picked me up and carried me to the emergency room were also Caucasian. And bless them. Bless them all. I mean, it was such an opportunity.
That's a lot. I mean, what you just voiced is really... there may be some here who have never heard that before, who don't know that people are walking around with experiences like yours. And yet...
Oh, those experiences are very real in my generation.
Mm.
And so as I now begin to switch and move within, I'm trying to actually do generational things so people will understand what we walk through to maintain the composure, the flexibility, and the ability to go neutral so you could go to the patient and give your best self. And hopefully it wouldn't be one of the patients that would talk about your gender, which was seen from all facets and all ethnic groups at the time I came through. Or you'd hear, my worst ever was in the ICU, I'm coming to take care of this elderly gentleman. And I happen to have been raised part of my childhood in Germany. So I understand some Yiddish. And turned around and I introduced myself and said I was there to introduce myself and say, how can I help you today? And let me tell you what we're going to do and what's the plan, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And he turned around and looked at me and said, well, now how much are you a night? This is in the ICU. He just had a heart attack.
Oh my goodness.
You just don't think. You know, and so, you know, when you really don't come to any patient encounter ready for that. So when I see the young people still going through it, whether they're Muslim, female, all ethnic groups, you realize how entrenched it still is within medical structures and in various subcultures in the United States.
Yes.
So,
wow. I mean, let's just take a moment because that was a lot. That was a lot.
Well, we haven't even talked about the trauma of always being the second or third black person, because I was never in a predominantly black environment until the day I went to Howard University. Ever.
And so let's go ahead and so everything that you have described, and we're talking about healing. So just your experience of going to medical school, Walking in the door.
No, that's my experience of going to school.
To going to school, period.
Yes, I went to school, to a different school every 3 years as an Army dependent.
Right. I was in military.
One of the first generation of the Army officers in the 50s who came in after Truman.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was always issues concerning race.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a bright young African-American female whose mother is a teacher in the system,
mm-hmm.
rather than cope with the fact that you were ahead of your students and put you upper grade or whatever, they say, you go down and see your mother. And so you'd end up teaching, helping her fix things, whatever, and being basically taught many ways by my mother.
And that was your experience.
My acknowledgement of my parents and the determination of two people who came out of the state of West Virginia, which was not separated until the Civil War, is one of profound appreciation because they came with their own traumas and their own stories. And they never, ever thought about doing anything but opening the door behind them. So that was the tradition I was raised in. You can do it. You're capable. You have a great mind. And you open the door behind you.
Magnificent. So, absolutely magnificent. So lead us to that's your historical experience and generational experience. Now,
oh, yes, my maternal family comes from Smith Mountain in Franklin County. And this side of Smith Mountain's white, and this side goes from white to coal. Because even now, my genetic lineage, where there has been no clear-cut marriage previous to the generation after me of Euro-Americans marrying into the family, I'm still 40% Caucasian. And that's all based on generational rape, which is, you don't have to ask in my family. You can look. People are born with gray eyes, blue eyes, blonde hair, mixed type of facial feature. You know, so
take us to the trauma. Take us to where did that land for you, where you ended up doing healing work?
Healing work was always the thought of healing work or the thought of being able to help heal people was always a passion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, the time went so quick. It's time for a break already. Thank you. Please come back. Come back. We're going to take a break real quick. Love and Light with Dr. Lisa.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at jenniferbloom.com.
We are back on Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace. And my guest, Dr. Iris L. Davis, is a intuitive medical consultant who is here to share her personal experience about healing. But before I continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact Dr. Iris. Could you tell us the website or how people could find you?
Oh, it's Functional Medicine in Durham, functionalmedicine.org. I put it right over there.
Functionalmedicine.org. Mm-hmm. Okay. So our listeners.
Durham, North Carolina.
And North Carolina, look for Functional Medicine, and that's how you can find Dr. Iris. And so when we were just talking about, I asked a question about how did you get into healing and what happened to you? And can you kind of like let the readers know you were grounding and situating yourself in your past and in your historic and generational history? Can you catch us up?
Well, so I'm basically describing being this, what I thought of as a very fortunate child, period. I was raised in a household, two parents, a grandmother that traveled with us and, you know, gave us childcare. I never had to worry about doing childcare, et cetera. One younger brother. And, you know, I've never been hungry or, you know, I was very materially spoiled in some ways. You know, I really have to admit that. And I was raised with a lot of very standards about being nice to people, blah, 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 blah. I just felt that I came from a loving, kind situation, and that I was raised to always reach higher, you know, the, kind of somewhat of what I would call the Dubois focus on the talented 10th, always giving back. So I was raised with that full concept of you one of the lucky ones, baby, when you get wherever you're going, give back. But I've always loved science and math. I can remember making an entire clay structure of all the bones in the foot by like third grade. Wow. For some art project. So science and math were my and languages. So I did well in school. In fact, the only disagreement I ever had in school with somebody was when somebody beat me up and said, you're a teacher's pet because you do well, you know. And that was an interesting moment. That was the one time in my childhood when I was attacked by other people of color. So I think that it helps you to understand and to recognize that there are certain things that you just, because you're on a path and your job is to fulfill your mission. And sometimes we make our mission too small for who we are.
So what I saw you doing when, because some people are listening to us right now, that the video will be out tomorrow. So when you're putting your hand up and you're going down, you're indicating stuffing.
How's this? You know,
she's talking about stuffing emotions.
You stuff emotions and you stuff episodes. Mm-hmm. The only time as a, in terms of gender, the only times I was ever physically attacked, I was attacked by a white male who was like a sports teacher teaching bowling. And I can remember the response infuriated my father, who had to be literally held down. I wasn't actually harmed fully because I was out of there on the bicycle back home. But what I'm trying to say is you remember how people shut it down. And I think that happens for women, as we all know, that's why their whole movement exists, of women never being able to really talk about how they lose faith and they lose trust in institutions and in individuals because of the way they're treated. I was all 11 years old, you know. So you're just taught that, well, thankfully nothing happened. I mean, he just got to your sweater and you got out of there, because I was someone who'd been raised by a very capable set of parents who said, don't ever let anybody touch you. That is never allowed, period. You kick, fight, bite, do whatever you do and get out. And I did do just that.
So historically, so when you looked at your history, your upbringing, the history of your parents and the generations, and did not think that you had any trauma. When did
it
you find
occur
out?
To me, it didn't occur to me that I was unpeeling trauma, as I described as trauma over and over. You know, even now in the United States, 5% of all physicians are around 5%. Are African-American. In the period since I went to medical school and I practiced for basically almost 40 years, the percentage of African-Americans has stayed just like this. The percentage of East Asians, primarily Chinese, has gone like this. The percentage of South Asians, primarily Indian and of higher caste groups, has gone like this. Native American, Latino, and African American have stayed pretty much like this. It says a great deal about our system, about who's allowed to be included as a quasi cogener for the Euro-American group and who isn't.
So, yes.
So that whole system that we have in medicine is one in which you are always attempting to be better than any of your colleagues, not just because you want to do so well, but because you have a system that does not necessarily support you as a professional.
So tell us how you got to your healing.
Well, let me tell you how I got to be sick. So I didn't recognize the constant little signs now that I am who I am. So let me play who I am. Okay. For 17 to 18 years, I was a standard allopathic physician at 5 medical schools in primary care systems in 5 medical schools, teaching, being attending. And attending means you teach on the wards. Then for another 18, from 2000 to 2020, basically from 2002 to 2001 to 2020, I was an integrative and functional physician and a medical acupuncturist, as well as being a standard physician. Okay. And then as I began more and more really seeing this insight from that story I told you at the beginning about the doctor who said, you really have to help lead people to their own healing. I was totally convinced as an internist that we needed to help people to heal. And often it was by uncovering the layers. And I said that as a woman who, by the time she finally had her only child at the age of 37, never recovered from that pregnancy, had classic major shift in my immune status, which often happens to people with autoimmune disease, so ladies don't feel like you're at blame. And by the time he was 6, I could not walk up the stairs.
Can you repeat that?
By the time he was 6, I could not walk up the stairs. Like, I'm washing clothes. I don't know if anybody else has a little boy, totally active little boy or totally active little girl, but they need a lot of clothes washed. And when you're coming up the stairs, and you realize you're going back up on your behind because you can't walk all of a sudden.
And so what did you do?
I was looking for a diagnosis. So I eventually was told I had a lupus-like disorder. I eventually ended up having a rare fat disorder called Durkheim's. And I went on to have another third disorder. And all those disorders ended up meaning that I was in constant chronic pain. By the time I was at work, when I finally became totally disabled at one point, they were taking lidocaine and going up and down my whole spine so I could see patients, just so I could work, to take care of other people. My greatest joy in life was caring for other people. My greatest problem in medicine was that as a community-based provider, I don't care if they have hypertension, diabetes, and this and that and the other. That doesn't mean that every hypertensive and every diabetic is stable and can be seen in 7 minutes. And that's how much you're allotted. So as someone who worked in AIDS care, geriatric care, primary care, community-based care, for all of this period, whether in a private sector or in a public sector, I was deeply resentful of the way the system did not recognize the need to let people have an interaction with their physician where they could do some level of what I used to call just communication. But that
communication
is often as a primary care provider.
Doctor Iris, there's two things here. First, you said that how the impact on your own body. So we're having dual conversations. One is about the medical system as a whole and not being able to care for people. And one is that you yourself were having impacts on your own body that prevented you from doing your job. And there's something missing there. What happened to you?
Well, what I'm trying to say is that was one of the biggest traumas, the medical systems. It was one of the largest traumas. It's the reason you're seeing the burnout you see in American medicine today. This is not an Iris Davis issue. This is an American medicine issue. So when you come to medicine to do good and to care, it's not that you don't think that there need to be standards. There do. They need to be humanistic standards. The people we care for are humans. They're not robots. And one person's hypertension can be helped by meditation and meds and this and weight loss and that. And you've got to be able to individualize and care for your patient. That was as stressful to me as anything else, trying to obtain care for people. I testified in front of Congress for my HIV patients. In fact, some of the testimony that I was able to do with one of my closest associates, we were able to finally get some benefits for women because women didn't get HIV. I'm reminded of the fact that I couldn't get a leave for being a mother because physicians at the institution where I was at St. Vincent's in New York City were only male. And they didn't get maternity leave.
So fast forward us, fast forward us to when you realized that your health is being impacted.
I underwent multiple, this is the other thing that I want people with autoimmune illness to know, or other illnesses that physicians or providers cannot easily figure out. I realized something was up by the time I finished residency. At that point, I'd been worked up for multiple sclerosis and they had already diagnosed narcolepsy for these episodes where you kind of pass out.
Hold that thought, Dr. Iris. It's time for a break. Hold that thought. If you're listening to us, please hold on a second. We're here with Dr. Iris Davis. She is a intuitive medical consultant. We are going to come back in a little bit. You're listening to Dr. Lisa, Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Dr. Pat Show.
The Dr. Pat Show.
The Dr. Pat Show.
This is it. The energy of heart to heart, mind to mind, love to love. These are the questions that people have and rarely state. When we have an internal transformation and we see things differently, what does it mean to step into the full nature of being a spiritual being? How am I to be? This is it. Every day, you have to do something outrageously positive. It is so absolutely relevant because what I've seen in humanity, despite what's in the headlines, I'm so struck by the heroes that have come forward. I'm just absolutely in awe. The idea generators and superheroes. All of you, you are the best listening audience in the world, and we are bringing it in 2021.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
God, Where Are You? It's Me is a book that will inspire you, uplift you, and motivate you into pushing through the darkness to find the light. How to connect back to the God of your understanding when you feel all is lost. It will inspire you to keep expanding into the next level of life's journey and remind you that you are not forgotten. If life's struggles make you feel disconnected or left behind, and you just do not know where to turn anymore, this book is for you. Explore how simple life tools can last a lifetime when navigating through new territories. With each page, prepare to have your energy shifted and prepare to unlock the secrets within. If you're interested in reading this amazing book, God, Where Are You? It's Me. Visit us at TracyLClark.com. And tune in to the Tracy L. Clark Show as featured on Transformation Talk Radio.
With me, Dr. Lisa, and I'm here with Dr. Iris L. Davis, an intuitive medical consultant, here talking about how she used healing methods in her life and now works with others to encourage maximum wellness. If you're looking to be in contact with Dr. Davis, you can look on the Functional Medicine website.
Functional Medical Center of Durham.
Functional Medical Center of Durham.
Mm-hmm. If they Google that, it'll come up, and I'm under the team.
Yes, I saw her under the team. She is there.
Yeah, so we've talked a lot about Dr. D at the Healing Threats.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Davis. We've talked about with Dr. Davis about some of the historical trauma, her history, her family history, the medical system and impact on her as a physician. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about what happened with her and how she was able to begin to heal herself.
So I saw many colleagues fall through the years, either through exhaustion, because, you know, physicians often work 40 to 80 hours a week. We don't just stop work usually at 5 o'clock. You know, you've got call, you've got this, you got that. And I saw, you have to recognize that I lost a lot of the people who actually trained with me as a resident in internal medicine and in other specialties, and they died of HIV. I was one of the first physicians that worked with women in HIV and went down there to testify in Congress. So all I'm trying to say is you see this constant loss and grief that you don't have time to process, because being in the battle for patients with HIV in the early 80s was just like being at war. And, you know, I really felt like it was one of those things like in the Wild Wild West. You know, you had stuff under your desk, you had stuff over here, you had this, that. And much of the things that I started to incorporate to help people were about learning to calm their system, reaching out for acupuncture at that time. I had always dreamed of going, also becoming an acupuncture, which is another type of a whole healthcare system. So I like to bring into fact, people say, what do you mean by intuitive medical consultant? And I said, what that means first and foremost is that, one, I'm trained as a physician, but I'm also trained as an integrative and functional medicine physician, and I'm trained as a medical acupuncturist. And in addition to that, the intuitive capacity that I've always had, I began training that, I would say, over the past decade and a half, especially once I became ill. Once I had the opportunity to go through what's called lupus cerebritis, which is where lupus-like cerebritis, which is where the autoimmune disorder attacks your brain, and it makes you look like you've had multiple small strokes all over the place. I was put on high-dose prednisone. You know, you're looking at me now, who, although I have this rare fat disorder, this is after I have gained and lost 120 pounds of the pounds gained with prednisone. I had a severe reaction to prednisone in terms of change in my weight gain and weight control, et cetera. So all those issues impact you. So when you have a chronic illness, I need people to, because I was only given 5 years to live. And that diagnosis was correct based on standard allopathic medical data.
You were given 5 years to live.
That's right. They said you'll either be in a nursing home, in a wheelchair. My son was 6 years and 11 months old when I went down. And I said, and wait a minute, did I mention I just got a divorce previously?
So, no, you didn't mention that, Dr. Davis.
So, you know, I just bought a house, you know. So anyway, you know, you have to find a way to cope. I have to say that for me, everyone has to find what can be one of their greatest structures of support. I had family. I had a community. I'm what's called an SGI Buddhist. People might know it like through someone like Tina, you know, that sings, you know, those folks that chant Nam Myoho Renge Kyo. But it's about understanding that your destiny is something you chose to change, to teach yourself.
Can you repeat that?
You chose your destiny. You chose your parents. You chose your destiny, and you can change it.
And so what did you do?
I did all the above, because the type of disorders I had were not a curative disorder in my case. They have been constant and unremitting. You know, remitting and come back. Remitting, it's like going up and down hills and valleys and hills and valleys. I've learned to walk and rewalk multiple times. I want people to understand that even though you make progress, you may fall back a little, then you go back at it again. And you, each time you add different layers of collaboration and cooperation to increase your capacity for healing.
Can you give us some examples of what those layers look like? Like, if there's someone out there right now who's listening and it's like, I have an autoimmune disorder, what do I do?
I went through three rheumatologists before I found the rheumatologist that was best for me. Okay. Found one of the few integrative physiatrists in the entire
world. We don't know what a physiatrist is.
A physiatrist is a rehab physician.
Okay.
To most people, they're the physicians that work with you after strokes, accidents, all of that. And they were extraordinarily encouraging. And because they were integrative, they understood as much as I did that the steroid issue was a big deal. And so she constantly worked with me to, I developed an entire team of healers. I had a craniosacral person. I had an acupuncturist. Are you getting the idea? I had a counselor. I did anything. I had a counselor in my own religious community. I encouraged others. And I allowed myself to finally go back to school because my pain control was so difficult for over, I would say, 3 decades of my life. I no longer remember what a pain-free body felt like.
So if there's someone listening, what I just heard you, I'm gonna check my listening. What I heard you say, as you named some kind of doctors that I don't know what they are. That you had different providers and that they were integrative, like they looked at the whole body.
Standard. They were integrative and standard, and as well as what was then called, like acupuncture and Chinese medicine. Like, for example, I had severe fatigue post-steroids. Severe. Like the kind where you had TOPS. Well, now they're called TOPS. It's an orthostatic.
I don't know what TOPS are.
Let's talk about it because this is active. This is a very large issue. You see it in all the newspapers because of long-haul COVID. Okay. And so what happens is your system becomes so unstable that you stand up and your blood pressure goes whoop, and so you're ready to pass out on the ground. You're orthostatic. In other words,
so you had a doctor who treated that?
I did much of that in the integrative and functional styles. I just like people to know that you can go treat TOPS in allopathic medicine, and you also might need support from integrative and functional medicine.
Can you repeat that again?
You might be able to treat orthostatic postural syndrome in an allopathic tradition, and you also might be able to treat it in an integrative and functional medicine tradition, or you might need a mixture. And that was much of how I became who I became. I was the person that people came to, and I had one lady come to, and she says, I'm just going to eat salads to heal my carcinoma. And, and she had a carcinoma, and I do not lie, this large. It was ulcerated.
What's a carcinoma?
Carcinoma is a cancer. And
okay.
She came and I said, let's just talk. So I stayed there with that woman and we talked 2 hours. But when she was finished, she went to an emergency room for an immediate assessment for a mastectomy because the cancer had spread all throughout her chest wall and everything else and was bleeding out of her body. I'm like, I don't think salad's going to work.
Right. So
there's
tell me
with your nutrition. What's wrong is you saying, I can only be fixed this way. We get into these bottles. I can only be healed this much. I can only be fixed this way. I can only take this kind of care. We have to look at our rigidity, and much of my intuitive stuff came out of no. So I've had more than one patient come to me with very long-standing, almost end-stage carcinoma saying, I'm not willing to do anything else. You've already decided how you're going to leave here. You don't really want to heal. You only want to heal if you're in charge.
And so what did you decide?
What I decided to do was try to listen to what were the best ways for me to heal and what were the best ways for me to do it without self-anger. Because as you can tell, I was a very directed, very willful person.
Well, I don't sound like somebody. Dr. Iris.
In case you can't, let me help you. So as this very self-directed, willful person who said, okay, I want to be back at work in a year. Well, I could barely walk in a year. I was grateful. So then I went from there to gratitude that I'm still here taking care of my son. I honestly believe if that man had not forced me to go out on disability for a while, that I would not have lived this long.
Mm.
So do you understand? And that was not the way someone who was as directed as I was, as I'm here to help other people open the door. I'm here to take care of other people. I'm also here to love me, acknowledge me, recognize me. So that as the most balanced and most caring I can be allows me to better care for others. That was a journey. Before the journey was all about, I got my joy out of just taking care of others. I went to exercise and I ate good food. But it made me realize how much my journey was all about. I have to. And I had to look at the I have to's because women get, I think everybody does, but women definitely get a whole list of I have to's in this life.
I have to's are not healthy.
I'm glad you agree.
I'm making a statement. Listen, I have to's are not healthy, but I understand what you're saying about the rigidity, like the rigidity of putting yourself in a box, and that you're talking about something that I hope people are really thinking about out there. Like when you're putting yourself in a box, you're doing that to yourself.
You don't even realize it because sometimes you'll think on the conscious level, I've cleared that. And then you get to the subconscious level. So for example, I've tried various forms of hypnosis. I have tried a lot of forms of different clearing. And as I learned more about clearing, I was like, really? That's still on board?
What do you mean by clearing? Can you define
clearing
that?
Clearing means acknowledging that something that you will not allow yourself to think about is still in your body. You know, trauma affects your body. It affects your actual cells. It affects your genes. It affects your capacity for illness. It affects your capacity for the genetic kick in for illness to begin, to worsen, to improve. You know, all of those things, emotion, spirit, mind, body, they all fuse and everybody's got different levels. You know, obviously if you got hit by a car, okay, real clear, I bet you want an allopathic physician real quick. But that may not be all you need. You may also need to find out, did you throw yourself in front of the car or were you hit by the car because you weren't looking and not paying attention?
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Iris. It has been illuminating. There's a lot of medical terms I don't know. I'm going to have to get a dictionary to try to figure some of this out, but I think I'm getting the point.
I'm telling you the particular specialist for my disorder. There's always different specialists for different disorder, but don't limit yourself to saying this is what I can afford. Limit yourself. Open your mind and your spirit and your determination to say, I want to obtain this kind of care.
Okay, so we're going to go on break.
What's the best?
We're going to go on break with that. Okay. Open your mind,
body, and
your spirit to obtain what you need to heal yourself.
So that you can begin to get the best out of your providers.
So you could get the best out of your providers. Wonderful. You are here listening to Love and Light with the fantastic Dr. Iris L. Davis. She is on fire here today. I'm going to have you back, please. She is a medical consultant and an intuitive. Please hold on. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Come back with us. Love and Light.
Are you ready to manifest the highest version of your life? Then let Adrian Cobb guide you on your own personal soul quest. Every year, Adrian hosts 2 7-day virtual solstice quests and a 21-day soul quest to create a quickening in your soul's evolution. During the quest, your heart unravels and you remember the depth of your love. The essence of who you are is always wanting to be fulfilled. To learn more, visit mywildmagic.com. That is mywildmagic.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Do you ever wonder why you are put here on this earth? What your soul is being called to do? What brings you the greatest satisfaction? Tune in to the Personal Wisdom Show with Nita Johnson on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where she will help you learn to really lean in and trust the wisdom and power within you, creating a success you never thought possible. If you want to grow this wisdom inside you and understand your life purpose, visit PersonalWisdomCoachingNow.com.
Are you curious about who the Holy Spirit is, or whether or not the Holy Spirit is real, and even more so, how to connect with an invisible God on a deeper level? Join me, Dr. Lisa Kohut, on Making the Holy Spirit Famous every second and fourth Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Central Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to begin that relationship, to begin to deepen your relationship with the Holy Spirit. To work with me, go to HolySpiritCoach.com. See you soon.
We are back on Love and Light with Dr. Lisa, and I have Dr. Iris Davis is here with me, and she is an intuitive medical consultant. And we've been talking about Dr. Davis's healing, as well as the systems of oppression and struggles with gender and race that have occurred that are present in our systems for medical people, as well as other people trying to get healing. And one thing Dr. Davis has talked about is she's talked about her own healing and how she came to a place where she started looking at her belief system. She started working with medical providers over, a variety
various
of
healing traditions and logarithms. Because a traditional
logarithms,
Chinese medicine
that's
person,
another word.
Oh, yes, because a traditional Chinese medicine person does not have the same pharmacy, diagnostic type of disease. They'll say things like stagnation, etc. Someone from integrated and functional medicine may be looking in a different, they're trained in standard allopathic medicine, which is what people think of when they think of a physician trained in an American medical school. That's called allopathic medicine. Our nurses, doctors, you know, so all the providers. That's
the medicine that we all think of, that's
think
one.
Of like insurance reimbursable, blah, 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 blah.
Right. So okay. Different healing traditions.
So I had everything from allopathic all the way to intuitive.
And you were healed.
I think that I have been healed. Have I been cured? Mm-mm. Do I continue to work through various issues related to my illness? Yes. Do I live in a world where I am so racked by pain that I can't breathe or function? No. Do I live
but
in
you
a
were.
World where, oh, I was.
But you were.
For over 2 decades.
For over 2 decades.
Yes, because remember, the pain began before my son.
Over two that, decades.
And yes.
And you're
start,
sitting with us now. How is that possible?
Yeah.
How
because
are you smiling and looking at us and looking at me?
Because I have been extraordinarily fortunate to be able to work on my healing. I was fortunate to have a physician who said, look, Superwoman. And that's what he said to me. He said, look, Superwoman, you're sick. You're going out on disability, and do not come back to work full time because you don't know any other speed less than 100%. And I follow.
Can anyone
orders.
Out there relate to what she's saying? I know there's someone out there listening, more than one person, who can relate to 100%, especially
less
right
than
now.
100%. And that's what he called me. He said, look, Ms. Superwoman, I was the medical director. He said, let me help you. It's very quiet, calm man. He says, you really don't know anything other than an overachieving syndrome. He said, perhaps
overachieving syndrome,
mm-hmm. Which I think is quite common in a number of different people that at least enter my profession, but I found it across all professions. It's very standard in, at least in the United States, often in certain professions. So I just think, I mean, you just finished getting a doctorate, as I remember. And I do believe, you know, there may be some overachieving syndrome possibly in there.
Are you calling me out in my own show, Dr. Davis?
Recognize, I did just out you, darling. So if we don't recognize these capacities and characteristics in ourselves, if we don't recognize that for who we are, for the bodies that we came with, for the life that we came with, for the weaknesses that we have, that it may be a bit too much and it may turn you on the wrong way, then we can't begin to change it. And so what I want people to leave here today with is a sense of, okay, it took her a long time, but trust me, I still went to parties. And if I could only dance for 2 minutes, I did all I could, probably for about 2 minutes, 30 seconds. But then I got to 3 minutes, and then I got up to, I could get through a whole song. And then I got up to, you know, hey, you know, so I did not live an unhappy life because I was handicapped. I didn't like being handicapped. I didn't like being, I looked like the Michelin man. you know, I didn't like it.
Look at you now. I wish our readers could see you now. How vibrant you are, that beautiful smile. They'll be able to see it tomorrow on YouTube.
But I could always smile, no matter what I looks like. It learned to help me internalize how much I actually love myself. And I realized that a lot of my self-love was based on what I did. And I want you to, wherever you are, whoever's in the audience, I want you to love you for you. Because you're here today. Right now.
Powerful.
As you are.
Powerful.
And as you go forward from that basis, then your healing can truly begin to move forward. And I find that much of the way I got pushed more and more toward helping people. And the other reason was because I described to you all these people who said, I can only heal this way and I can only heal this way. And if it's not insurance-based, I can't do it. And all the no's, that's, excuse me, let's talk about the rigidity. Let's talk about the traumas. What is traumatic in one person's life is not necessarily traumatic in all people's life. I don't have a need to go out and talk about, oh, I'm a victim. No, I'm not. I'm someone who walked through and was affected by, but I'm trying to work off the fact that I continue to be affected by. I can let it go. I can go to neutrality. Because the worst of it is I won't live. And maybe since I've had almost one of those experiences where you walk on up to some nice lights, I don't actually think of that as a bad thing. But anyway, you're either alive or dead. So, you know, on that. So I feel like people have to recognize that we have to become more neutral to our weaknesses, which are embarrassing at times, and also to our strengths.
Okay. So Dr. Irish, you've given us so much. I feel like I've had like 4 shows in one. I'm going to have to really watch and pay attention when the video comes out tomorrow so I can hear it myself. But one thing I'm really wondering about is, you know, I talk a lot about healing communities of support and how people can love one another and live in peace. And if there's someone out there listening who has life-threatening diseases like you have and would love to begin, what community or what steps should they begin to take?
So I built me a community of healing providers. I built what community I could within my family. I built a community of friends who understood when I said, I can't make it tonight. The friends who couldn't understand that you have a relapsing illness quickly left the circle. Something that you can do on Tuesday doesn't mean you can do it tomorrow on Wednesday. I found new friends when, for example, I don't walk well anymore. I do walk now. But I can kayak. So there's a kayak group. There's not necessarily a walking group. You can open yourself to where you can grow. I have a water aerobics group that I had for years. Because what I can do in water, what I always did on land. I do a special form of weight training, and that's a group. And I teach everyone I know about it.
Those are amazing examples.
Right. You don't know. When I became an integrative and functional medicine physician, I found myself telling people, okay, so let go of the pain. Okay, we can't just replicate what we do in allopathic medicine. Let's talk about income and who is it getting to and which economic and ethnic and cultural groups are we getting to in the society that can. So I'm saying you can reach out and you can open your world or you can close in and just let it all go.
Thank you, Dr. Iris. Thank you, Dr. Iris. Wow, I can't believe the time has gone so quickly. Dr. Iris Davis, can you tell us your website again?
Probably not, but it's drd@thehealingthreads.com.
All right. That's how you can contact Dr. Davis. Amazing, amazing time. You know, my tip of the week is always the same. Remember to treat yourself like your best friend. If you'd like to contact me, you can go to my website, educationthroughengagement.com. All my info is there. Sign up for the newsletter and go to YouTube and sign up for to subscribe to this podcast. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Iris Davis, a medical intuitive physician, a consultant rather, and for sharing her healing journey with us. I had a wonderful time. Please join me every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 right here on Transformational Talk Radio. Join us next time. We'll have Reverend Dr. Adara L. Walton will be here. Have a great week. See you next time. Love and Light with Dr. Lisa.
Thanks for listening to Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, Everyday Living in Peace. If you spent the last hour engaging in challenging and transformational conversations, all for the purpose of living a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Join me next time to continue growing in love and light through healing practices and acts of love. To learn more or work with me, Dr. Lisa, visit educationthroughengagement.com. That's educationthroughengagement.com. Remember, the world changes when we change by coming home to love. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.